Maybe a couple out of there.
So good morning to you, and certainly count it a privilege to be here. Last week when I offered to Brother Jerry and Elvin to try to help out with the church, because I knew it would be difficult for this weekend, come down and share with you a message of encouragement and hope. It sounds from what I've observed in the last 30-40 minutes that you're doing very well. I know that there's still going to be tears, there's going to be times of heartache, there's going to be times of grief. I understand that. That's normal and natural process. But it would appear to me that you are doing well. And that would please Gary very much to know that you are holding up well as such. A message of comfort, a message of encouragement, of hope for today, tomorrow. Now, yesterday was a day of sorrow. It was for me, and I think for many of you as well. It was a time of celebration indeed. We don't want to pull away from that. We celebrate Gary's life, and where he's at today, he won the race. We would not take anything from that. But it was also a day of sorrow at parting. I'm confident that Jesus is safe, safe in the arms of Jesus. That Gary, rather, is safe in the arms of Jesus. And the more we are torn by life's happenings, the more we need to trust in God. Now, we know that intellectually. We've been in church most of our life, many of you have, and we know that intellectually. Mentally, we know that God will never leave us. But it's when our hearts emotionally become convinced that there is peace and true peace. That will happen if you allow God's healing to come into your lives. Allow me at this moment to share a short clip of a DVD that's been a blessing to me, and I trust you as well, to hope to lift your spirits heavenward. Allow time for God to speak to your spirit through this. I know it's a bit unusual. I'm not trying to do any kind of group hypnosis. I'm only simply wanting to share with you a DVD clip. God speaks to you. Thank you, Jeremy. I don't know how it is for you, but for me, when I've been hurt, when I've been grieved, when I felt that God abandoned me, He didn't, but I felt that way. I need to find a place of solace. I'm sure you have around here as much beautiful nature you have. For me, the mountains. Going to the mountains, beside a stream, or walking a trail, often soothes my soul. Ruth, for your family, for your church family, over the next days and weeks, you'll need to find that place to soothe your soul. Weekend, as busy as this has been, everything coming together in a short time, the burying of our dear brother yesterday, all the people, when they go home and life comes back around to normal, that's when you'll have to have that place of solace. When our brother Gary went from physical life to spiritual realm, he walked through the valley of the shadow of death. As we read about in Psalm 23, verse 4. Reads in this manner, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And as our dear brother Gary walked through this valley, we too, individually and collectively, must someday take that same journey. Whether you be young or older, we too must take that same journey. I am sure that Gary found comfort in his family. I'm confident of that. And comfort for the fact that the man that he worshipped and followed all those years, Jesus as we call him, give him comfort to know. Someday, Lord willing, soon hopefully, someday Jesus will return from on high. And those clouds will break open. And we will be with Him forevermore. Why are we not fearful of death? Now a man or woman, a young man or young woman that has not got peace with God should be fearful of death. Let's make no amends for that. If we're not ready to die, you and I, frankly, are not ready to live. I'll say that again so you have a good chance for a hearty amen. If you're not ready to die, you're not ready to live. Amen. That's the gospel truth. And you make it some other thing, you're just fooling yourself. You just count it down. You're fooling yourself. We must be ready to go at any time. Now, no one in a right mind sort of wants to give up health and give up life, so to speak. When our bodies get diseased and troubled, we're anxious to go on, understandably. But when things are going well, we want to be here and enjoy family and life as such. But when it comes time to go, we don't want to be fearful for that. Those last few moments and minutes before Brother Gary passed on, life as he knew it here faded. And in my opinion, it's like going through a veil, like going through a darkness, not for sure what's on the other side. Reaching, not for sure what's out there. Yes, I've talked about it, I've preached about it, I believe in it, it's there. And reaching, and in my opinion, for the Christian, I believe that he will feel, he or she will feel, the presence of Jesus at that time. We won't have to cross Old River Jordan alone. No, you won't if you're a Christian and love the Lord. And I trust most, if not all, here this morning. Of course, I hope you are. We won't cross Old River Jordan alone. The sheep know that a good shepherd will take care of them and protect them with his rod and with his staff. Likewise, we know that Jesus will be there for us and lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. We can have that great confidence in that. You know, even a good shepherd will carry his wounded sheep until it heals I believe Brother Gary is being cared for at this moment in time in a state of bliss in paradise. You know, Gary is being comforted right now as we speak. We have that confidence. But before you and I, before we can be comforted, we must know and experience grief. And this week you have. I know you have. The feeling of loss. The feeling of separation. Or we would not know what we're being comforted from. Sometimes life can deal us some very hard times. But God's grace is sufficient. We say that, and we must believe that, and we must act upon that. We must experience it. A large part of our healing, though, is acknowledging our grief is okay. It's not wrong to grieve. It's good to grieve. It's right to grieve. You lose a pastor, a mentor, a brother, a husband, a friend, a father, a grandfather. Grieving is loss is not necessarily wishing him back. As much as we might do that selfishly, we wouldn't wish him back, would you? He made it through. He made it through. Even Jesus showed this example. Brother Al referred to it in his message yesterday, and for time's sake, I won't go read that passage. It's familiar to us. I may read a portion of it, but the story of Lazarus. The reason why I bring that up is because Jesus knew very well what he was going to do. When he stood there, when he waited there, rather, when they asked him to come, Mary and Martha said, "Our brother's sick, we need you to come, Jesus." And Jesus loved Lazarus, we know that, the Bible tells us that. Everything within his motivation would be to go and to bring him out of his sickness. But he said, this sickness is not unto death. It's for a reason, it's for a purpose as such. But when he did go, in John 11, I'll read just a few verses there to bring that out again and highlight it, as it was aptly done yesterday. In verse 32, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled." And I've got a little question mark here in my Bible I put there myself. Why? When he fully knew what he was about to do, one of the greatest miracles the Bible records, and to raise Lazarus from the dead, and all the excitement that that would be, and all the glory that would be to God, why did he groan in his spirit? Why did he weep? He wept because he loved him much. The Scripture says, "Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him." Jesus wept out of grief. It's important, family, Ruth, children, church family, brothers, sister-in-laws, it's important to grieve. And by so doing, allow it to happen in your life. Don't resist it. But we can grieve with great hope. We can grieve with great hope as Christians for tomorrow. We know, the Bible tells us, and it's when things like this happen in life, when death happens to us and comes to our beings, we at that time need to recognize it's not just about going to church on Sunday morning or Bible study on Wednesday night. It's real. And we don't spend this time just preaching, teaching for entertainment. It's real. There is a life coming. Eternity. And we want to be ready for it. Gary was ready for it. I have all confidence of that. Turn, if you want, your Bibles to the Gospel of John chapter 14 for a few verses there. We have hope for tomorrow that can and will ease your suffering and grief. The Bible speaks to this very clearly in John 14 verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." We must use scriptural promises like this to comfort each other. God has prepared for us a place. For you, every one of you. Children, if you're old enough to understand what I'm talking about, there's a heaven, there's a hell, there's Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. Satan is the enemy. And we want Jesus to be in our hearts, and I trust many of you children have that. But God is preparing a mansion for you. He has a mansion prepared for Brother Gary. We must use those scriptural truths to comfort each other when we're grieving and going through the process of grief. Another passage that comes to mind is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you would turn to that. Now I'm speeding through some of this for time's sake. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you would turn, verse 13. Again, another familiar passage. The last verse I'm going to read reads in this manner, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Here's those words in verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye saw not, even as others which have no hope." That's key there. Even as others which have no hope. Those that have no hope should be sorrowing. They should be sorrowing. But for our dear brother Gary, I don't have a sorrow for him in that sense. I believe with all my heart he is where he wanted, where he's aimed to go all these years. And where he's at now. He says, "You saw not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Somehow when I read this, I had to think Brother Gary had said, "I'm going to beat you. I'm going to be first." And he will, along with other people who have died in the Lord. They're being asleep in the Lord, dying in the Lord. We're not going to prevent that from happening. They're going to go first. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." There it is, clear as a bell. "They shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now that's got to be of comfort to us. It's not just some pretty language over a pulpit that we talk about on Sunday morning. It needs to be real and belief. Jesus is coming back. We don't know how long it'll be. And it really, frankly, doesn't matter. That's in His timetable. What matters is moment by moment, minute by minute, day by day, I make an effort to live for Him. He knows you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We never will be. But He also knows when we are conning Him. He also knows when we're not putting our best effort forth. In church, being a Christian is all well and good, and I'm glad you're here. But it's tomorrow morning that counts. It's when you and I are exposed to the world, to the community around us, people around us. That's when it counts. They need to see Jesus in us. And if they see Jesus in us and are caused to want to come toward Him because of what we live and do, not what we say, words are cheap, but by actions. Are my actions such that people are drawn toward Christ, drawn toward God? He says the comfort with these words that He's coming back. We believe it. Now, one brother mentioned this morning about being excited and bold for the Lord. If you and I get up tomorrow morning and we are excited about the fact that Jesus may come back today and I have an opportunity to witness for Him, don't you think that make a difference? Instead of just going to the work and getting seeing patients or getting up on a roof if you're a carpenter or digging a ditch if you're a farmer, doesn't it make any difference that today may be the last day of my life here? The day is the day of salvation. And when I'm given a chance, I will speak for it. That doesn't have to be a preacher. Many times preachers are as effective as other people. Truly that's the case. I need to see it in you and I, young and old. Do I believe what I say? Do I live what I say? And I'm speaking first to myself. Very, very much so. I have done otherwise. I remember some years back when I was preaching on a message that I thought was very troubling to me, important to me, concerning about the church family. And I got behind a pulpit, and believe it or not, I said, "This message is first for you and second for me." My wife's eyes got about this big. "What are you saying? And why are you saying that?" I didn't realize how it sounded. I guess I meant it. But I didn't realize how it sounded. Now, this message is first for me. Very definitely. And second for you, not leaving any of you out. It's been shown. And you just check yourself. Many times after a message, after a sermon, people go home and they forget it before Wednesday night. Wednesday night prayer meeting. What did the preacher preach on Sunday morning? And a lot of blank stares. That could happen again here this morning. Unless you make it a firm resolve that tomorrow morning, the next day, and the next day, I am not going to forget that I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not going to forget that today may be my last day on earth. I'm not going to forget that today may be the day of salvation for someone that Lord brings into my life. I am not going to forget that because first and foremost, I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Forget your title if you're an architect, if you're a doctor, if you're a teacher, if you're a truck driver. Forget it. Your most important title is ambassador for Jesus Christ. And if I have that attitude and mindset, it makes me think about it. I'm on duty. I have a job. Responsibility. When I read this passage about the earth opening up, the dead shall rise first, and we which are alive remains to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, I can just see Brother Gary with that big smile and hear him say, "Come on! Can't you?" In the years I've known him, "Come on! It's time to go! Be ready so you can go." That's what Gary would want. If he could be here and speak, and I did pray to God before I came, of course, prayed this morning again several times. And of course, I can't pray to Gary, but I said, "God, help me say what Gary would want me to say this morning." He'd say, "Come on." Often after the loss of a loved one, later again when everyone goes home, and I've experienced this in my practice and in my church community and life, I've seen it over and over again, when everyone goes home, we may again feel the loss more acutely at that time than initially. When it settles in, day after day, week after week. When you and I feel the storm of emotions welling up within us, and anxiety that can create, and depression that can create, and sometimes, may I dare say, but it's true, anger that may make. Yes, some people go through that. Anger with God. Because we don't have the answer to why. And God does not always give us the answers to why. We need to ask, "What, Lord, are you trying to tell me in this?" Not, "Why did you do this?" What's okay? Why is not? It's an exercise in futility, basically. When you feel the storm of emotions starting to rise, remember how Christ quieted the storm the disciples found themselves in? I won't turn to it for time's sake, but in Mark chapter 14, when he had sent the disciples on, they were in the ship. He stayed behind. Ship was out in the middle of the sea. And I tell you what, if you're not right for the Lord, you let me put you on a small boat in a big ocean or a big lake and get the waves rising up, Tommy, 6 to 8 foot, and you're going to get right with God or something ain't right with you. That's what I feel. I've seen that in myself and experienced that. When that boat's tossing and turning and you're about to upchuck and you don't know if you're going to live or you're going to drown, you're going to get right with the Lord. Maybe we should take our churches, Jerry, on a big ship. I've said before in times past that if a church is having issues or problems, it'd probably be money well spent to buy a ticket for people to go on some flying trip and tell the pilot, "Give us a good ride." Listen, don't you pray on an airplane? I sure do. More than a few bumps, I'm starting praying already. My point is, let's not wait till some tragedy like that happens. But they do happen. In this situation, it was happening. The ship was being tossed and turned. The wind was up. The waves were up. And Jesus came walking onto the sea. You think that would help initially. But when they saw him, they thought it was a spirit. And the fears and worry got worse. Then Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Be comforted in your distress." Another storm where disciples were coming through in Mark 4. And Jesus was in the boat with them. Remember, he was sleeping in the boat. It wasn't troubling him, but the disciples thought, "We're surely going to drown again." They were so worried. They asked Jesus, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Of course he cared. But he asked, "Don't you even care we're going to go down here?" Jesus awoke from his sleep. You remember the story? And he rebuked the wind and sea, simply said, "Peace, be still." I marvel at that. I believe it. It's in God's word. It happened. He stood on that boat and said, "Peace, be still." And the waves came down. The wind came down. And of course, their calmness came up. Jesus is saying to your hearts this morning, to the church here, "Peace, be still." So when and if, I hope it don't, but when and if it does happen later and your heart's trembling and you're anxious and you're depressed and maybe even angry with God and grieving, remember that Jesus does really care. He does really care when my heart and my emotions are torn and troubled. We must believe that He does and then act on our faith, not be paralyzed by our feelings. Today, we as Christians are often tossed with those waves and winds of afflictions. He's passing by. But we have to do something to get that peace. We need to reach out like the woman did to touch the hem of His garment when He was passing by. She wanted to be healed from this issue of blood she'd had for 12 years. Then Jesus turned to her and said, "Daughter, be of good comfort." There's that word again. "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Your faith in God will help you and I to be whole and healed from this experience. Likewise, if you and I reach out to Jesus for the healing of our broken hearts, He can make us whole. Even after the loss of a pastor, a mentor, a friend, a brother, a husband, a father, He can and He will make you whole again. You must have faith in that. Yes, Brother Gary is gone, but he's not forgotten by us. I know he said that people won't remember him in the years to come. I don't think it will be in my lifetime. He's not going to be forgotten by me. Not going to be forgotten by you, Elvin, is he? No. He would want you and I to be healed and press on with life. And so we must. You'll need to lean on each other as a church. Now, more than ever. I've seen evidence of that before. And I give you counsel, because I love you as a church. You need to lean on each other more than ever. If Brother Gary could speak to us from beyond the grave, he would surely agree for you to love each other. Love each other even when you disagree with each other. Because disagree, you surely will. That's being human. He'd want you to forgive each other. He'd want you to draw strength from each other. His words would echo the Apostle Paul's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, reading in this manner, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect," or we'd say mature in Christ. "Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." I believe Gary would echo those words. Allow me, if you would, to finish with this short clip of a spiritual DVD again. Dim the lights for just again focusing on this. And let God's Spirit speak to your spirit. And I'd like to have a prayer of consecration for your ministers and your church. Yet. Just reflect and listen. Let God speak to your spirit. Speak for Jeremy's spirit right now. It's probably blood pressure's going up. If you're not able to, it's fine. If you can, it'll be helpful, but it's not fine. Walk with the Lord. what your present walk with the Lord is. Your relationship with Jesus. Your relationship with each other. Life is real. Your calling is real. Honor it. Let God heal you individually and collectively as a church. Troubled seas in everyone's life. It's like some lives have more than others. But God is the master of those seas. Speaks to your heart and mind. Peace be still. Lives may end suddenly, young or old. They may drag on for years to come, decades, generations. Life will end for many of us. Be ready. No greater compliment to Brother Gary than if he sees and knows that you are walking in love toward each other. In faith and in love. See things like this, I think of heaven. I don't know what it's going to be like no more than you do, for sure. But one thing I know is I don't want to miss it. I want to be there. And you can be. All right. Bring the lights back up again. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. Brother Jerry and Elvin and Dwayne, would you come up? I want to pray for you and pray for the church. We'll stand here together and pray for you. Lord, I come to you this morning. I ask your blessing upon this church for its leadership, Brother Jerry, Brother Elvin, Brother Dwayne, their wives, Diane, Ruth, and Karen. Give them wisdom, give them discernment. Help them be the pastors that you want them to be. Help them be good shepherds of this flock. I pray, Lord, for them. I pray for our dear sister Ruth, the family, and the loss that they have had, and yet the celebration of Gary's life, but still a loss. I pray you would be near and comfort them. Take them in your arms, Lord Jesus, and comfort them. And for this church, I pray, Lord, a comfort, encouragement, and a hope for tomorrow. I pray, Lord, and ask for your blessing. If need be, Lord, take a portion of my blessing that you have in store for me and give it to them. In the name of Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen. God bless you, man. I'll turn it back over to you.
This life is really just preparation ground, is it not? We're ready for closing. Brother Allen doesn't know I'm going to do this, but I'm going to ask him to come forward and just have a closing prayer and any comments that he'd like to make, anything he'd want to say to the congregation. Allen has been a dear friend to Brother Gary for many years. I'd just like him to share and then have a closing prayer.
Forward to the day when the last enemy will be destroyed and the mighty king of terrors will have fallen forever. Father, I commend this church and the Troyer family to the word of your grace, which is able to build them up and to give them an inheritance that is eternal among all the saints in the light. Show them how to comfort each other, how to urge each other on to love and to good works, to fulfill the calling that you have laid upon them. Protect them from the attacks of the evil one, to distract them and to divide them, to dilute their ministry and the kingdom values. Lord, pour out your spirit upon them in unusual ways. Things they would never have even dared to ask for themselves. Things they cannot yet see. Oh God, we ask this in the wonderful name of the one who wept for his good friend, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Allen. Y'all are dismissed.